On this week's Nesson Patriots podcast, we break down all angles of the Mac Jones ankle injury and what it means for New England heading into this Sunday's matchup with the Green Bay Packers. Hello and welcome back to the Nesson Patriots podcast. I'm Zach Cox, joined as always by Dakota Randall, coming to you from the Gillette Stadium press box on a beautiful Wednesday down in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The Patriots preparing to visit Lambeau Field for the first time since 2014. And the quarterback matchup in this game, barring some kind of major surprise later this week, is going to be a bit different from what we were expecting going into the season. Aaron Rodgers will still be in there for the Packers, but it seems highly, highly, highly unlikely that Mac Jones will be able to start this game for the New England Patriots. He suffered a reported high ankle sprain on the final offensive snap in last week's loss to the Baltimore Ravens, and according to several reports out there, is expected to miss multiple weeks. The exact number of weeks remains unclear. Some of that will probably depend on whether or not he has surgery, which we can get into a little bit later. Bill Belichick, when we spoke to him this morning, did not confirm any of that, really. Did not say that that Mac Jones will not be available this week. He actually provided kind of an encouraging update, saying that he's doing a lot better than he was right after the injury. But Bill Belichick did say that if Jones can't go in this game, it will be veteran backup Brian Hoyer who starts for the Patriots. And I think everybody around here is kind of operating under the assumption that that is going to be the case, just based on the look of the injury and the reports that came out in the days after that. So we'll get into what exactly this means for the Patriots, whether they can win this game with Brian Hoyer at quarterback, what they have to do to make that happen. But just overall, Dakota, kind of overall impressions about this Mac Jones injury, the fallout, where the Patriots go from here. What's your general sense of this whole thing?
For me, the whether Mac plays this weekend, it isn't really interesting because I think it's clear that it seems pretty clear that he's not going to. Brian Hoyer's whatever, you know, Bailey Zappe stuff, is he or is he not ready to be a backup? Like, it's interesting, the idea of like what it could be like if he gets in there, all that stuff, you know, I think is secondary to me, which is the sort of story that's been percolating surrounding this whole situation, which is the second opinion on the surgery, if Mac's gonna, like, him preferring to avoid surgery. Some reports that the Patriots would have been surprised if he didn't get surgery. It's been sort of this blend of speculation and reporting that maybe the two sides disagree, or if it's not necessarily disagreement, that maybe Mac just doesn't want to, you know, go get some sort of surgery or kind of go the extra mile to come back faster to a situation that maybe, you know, isn't really the greatest for him to be in anyway. The conversation about the offense sort of struggling and not being a very tight operation, you know, whether that's put him in a position to succeed or, you know, to get hurt. He's gotten more x-rays than he has wins this season. You know, I don't know how much I buy into all that, but I do think it there's at least something going on there where everyone sort of thought, well, obviously what he'd do is get that tightrope surgery that Tua and Jalen Hurts got in Alabama, and they came back in 4 weeks. There was some story saying that they were ready in like 10 days or so. And then everyone sort of thought how tough Mac Jones is, the competitor, that's the route that would happen. Seems like maybe that isn't going to take place. And so now there's sort of, again, all this sort of speculation and reporting, blending of the two going on that, you know, make you wonder if behind the scenes, if there is some sort of pull, some tug of war going on between Mac and the team. It's hard to get a read on, but I think that's the most interesting angle of all of this.
Interesting angle, too, is that Mac Jones was at Alabama when Tua and Jalen Hurts both got those surgeries. So he's seen kind of up close firsthand on how that whole procedure works and what the recovery looks like from that. And you would have to imagine, again, we don't know exactly what the injury is and exactly what the surgery is, whether that would be the same kind of tightrope surgery or something slightly different. But the general sense is that surgery would allow him to return more quickly, which would be the benefit of getting the surgery. But it does seem like we are now, 3 days removed from this injury, and the fact that a decision on that has not been publicly reported is notable, and the fact that Mac Jones is seeking a second opinion. He did not confirm that. Bill Belichick didn't confirm that, but the reporting out there is pretty specific and pretty clear. Right. I'm reading one from Mike Giardi right now over at NFL Network. Said he's getting the second opinion with Dr. Martin O'Malley, who is the foot and ankle specialist for the Brooklyn Nets. Did J.C. Jackson's ankle surgery recently. Which doesn't seem to have turned out too well so far for J.C. Jackson, but that's a different conversation. So it does seem like Mac Jones is kind of exploring his options here for his recovery from this injury. And he did not practice today. Bill Belichick seemed to leave the door open that he might practice later in the week, but just, again, given the whole severity of everything, that seems pretty unlikely. And now it is more of a question of how long is Mac Jones going to be out rather than is Mac Jones going to play this week? Because again, I think a lot of people would be very surprised if he is out there in this game just 7 days after this injury. And I think the answer to that question kind of shapes how the Patriots will handle a lot of different things going forward here, including whether they would feel the need to add another quarterback to that quarterback room, whether they would want
Cam Newton's a free agent.
Cam Newton is a free agent. I would be stunned if that was the case. But it is an option. It is an option.
I do think you can say that weirder things have happened here. So there's
That is absolutely true. And then there's the decision of whether to put Mac Jones on injured reserve or not, which would sideline him for at least 4 games. I think that seems kind of likely as well, just because most of the reported prognoses seem to indicate that he's likely to miss 4 games-ish or in that vicinity, regardless of whether or not he does the surgery or doesn't do the surgery. So we are still sort of in wait and see mode, even this long after the actual injury itself, which I think feels a little bit unusual. It's been a while since we've dealt with this situation as people covering the Patriots, because this will be the first time, assuming he doesn't play this weekend, this will be the first time a Patriots quarterback has missed a game because of an injury, not an illness, not a suspension, since Jimmy Garoppolo suffered that shoulder injury while he was replacing Tom Brady back in 2016. And then before that, the last time a Patriots quarterback had missed a game with an injury was Brady's ACL tear back in 2008. So,
and the only other time was Bledsoe.
Yeah, the only other time was Bledsoe, and then obviously there was the Cam Newton positive COVID test, which thrust Brian Hoyer into action against the Kansas City Chiefs back in 2020, a game that did not go particularly well for Brian Hoyer and the Patriots, but a game that I think is interesting to kind of revisit this week just in terms of the similarities and the differences of what this game could be like for Brian Hoyer and the Patriots compared to that one back in 2020. Because at the very least, you would expect and hope, if you're the Patriots, that Brian Hoyer would be more prepared for this game than he was back in 2020 when he had to replace Cam Newton, because that was kind of a fire drill type operation when he had to go into that game, because Cam Newton tested positive for COVID Friday night that week, which means Brian Hoyer did not have a single practice leading up to that game as the first-team quarterback, as the guy running the first-team offense, an offense that at the time was completely shaped around Cam Newton's strengths with a lot of the quarterback run type stuff that no longer features into this offense. So from that perspective, you would hope, if you're the Patriots, that he's going to be a little more prepped up and a little more ready to go than he was for that game 2 years ago. Which really was a disappointing outing for him, especially because the two mistakes that he made in that game, the really costly red zone errors, were just mental mistakes that you would not expect a 34-year-old, 12-year veteran quarterback to be making. And that game got him both benched and then demoted down to third string for the rest of the season. So, again, going to be very interesting to see just what this Patriots team looks like with Brian Hoyer at the helm. I think the more interesting part of this whole saga, as you mentioned, is how the Patriots deal with this Mac Jones injury. But in the short term, it looks like they're going to have to go to Brian Hoyer. And just what does this team kind of look like with Brian Hoyer at quarterback? And can they tread water enough to remain competitive until Mac Jones gets back?
I mean, I think because the opponents that they're facing, for the most part, aren't that good. I think it's still all in front of the Patriots. I could craft an argument for them beating the Packers this weekend. I certainly wouldn't pick them, but I think it's a winnable game despite the spread. You know, I think they still could easily beat the Lions. I'd like to think the Patriots could still beat the Lions at home. And then Cleveland,
especially because the Lions probably won't have DeAndre Swift, it sounds like, in that game.
Yep. And then Cleveland, Chicago, Jets. Zach Wilson might be back, so we'll see. I think the Patriots can still be above water once Mac Jones gets back. But I think, again, for me, it's just if I'm Mac Jones, like, I'm insanely frustrated at this point. I think it's obvious that he is very frustrated, and I do, you know, wonder if there really is some sort of, you know, and this is just pure speculation, if something inside of him is like, why would I rush to come back to the situation? Because the more you think about it, you know, his rookie season, you know, went better than I think, as well as anybody could have hoped for. Under Josh McDaniels, he did a really good job. He developed chemistry with Jacoby Myers, Kendrick Bourne, all this stuff, and it went well. And then going into his second offseason, he loses his offensive coordinator, replaced by Matt Patricia, some combination of Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, trying to install a new offensive scheme. We've all talked about how bad it looked during training camp. I'd imagine he could be thinking, you know, why did we have to do this? Why is this necessary? The offense looked fine last year. We were going in the right direction, building chemistry with, you know, all these new teammates, and then now we're kind of ripping it up and going in a different direction. They come out of camp. Kendrick Bourne, who's one of his favorite targets last year, is essentially benched. He gets, you know, because of multiple offensive line breakdowns in the first game against the Dolphins, there was the strip sack that resulted in a touchdown, which played a huge role in the Patriots losing that game. Then later in the game, another protection breakdown resulted in the hit that hurt his back. And then in the Ravens game, sort of same thing. At the end of the game, also against the Steelers and against the Ravens, Kendrick Bourne not having much of a role. The offense continuing to struggle. It looks kind of just like not much of a plan or some sort of slap together plan. And then against the Ravens at the end of the game, he's in a position where, you know, he's got to air it out. And the protection breaks down again. He gets hit again. He gets hurt again. And then it was that shot of after the interception in the end zone when he targeted Devontae Parker.
He was pissed.
You could tell that he was screaming. It was cover four. Like he was. And before the play, Parker put his hands up like he didn't know what was going on. So it looked like Mac Jones might have been upset that Parker didn't run the right kind of route, or they weren't on the same page. It just sort of adds to the whole new offense. Not everybody on the same page, questionable coaching, the offensive line putting him in a position to get hit and get hurt. And yeah, if I'm him, I'm definitely frustrated, and I'm wondering why we had to get to this point at all, considering basically the entire offense is back after how good it looked last year. And then I'm wondering, you know, how fast do I want to come back if I'm just going to come back and get and have the situation largely be the same?
No. And you've got to wonder too how much of, because Mac Jones has not played to the level that I think a lot of people were hoping and expecting for in his second season. I don't think he's been bad. I don't think he's been as bad as some people have kind of indicated.
He was pretty good against coming out of that game against the Ravens. I was sort of prepared to write how, you know, I think Mac Jones is having another bad game, played a huge role in them losing. But going back and watching it again and thinking about it more,
he was good.
He was good. And
he made some very bad mistakes, which has really been the kind of story of the entire season so far from him.
And I buy into that second interception not really being his fault. Like,
I do too.
I buy into that.
It seemed pretty clear, even from talking to Devontae Parker about that, it seemed like he was not in the place that Mac Jones expected him to be on that play. But it seemed like the first interception in that game was Mac Jones' fault, from what we can tell. The almost pick six at the goal line was a pass that he should not have thrown. He's been making more plays like that than we saw from him last season. But I think some of his struggles have been maybe a little bit overplayed, I guess. The comments from Michael Lombardi, who is a close friend of Bill Belichick and a former Patriots assistant, I believe it was yesterday, he made on his podcast, basically saying that Mac Jones is danger of losing his job and being out of the league if he continues to play as reckless and out of control as he had.
That felt really strong.
I think that was strong. I think that was a bit of an overreaction. And I know we kind of made fun of the Bill Belichick saying that this first month of the – or insinuating that the first month of the season is going to be almost kind of a extension of the preseason. We're saying, well, that's – you can do that when you have Tom Brady. You can't do that when you don't and you're in the situation that you are. It is true that this situation probably will just take time to kind of gel together and work through the kinks and whatnot, like whether they ever get to a point where they need to get. That's a different situation. But you can definitely see a level of frustration from Mac Jones. That clip that you talked about of him on the bench after the interception in the end zone, that was as angry as I've ever seen him, I think, during a game. And this is a guy who takes mistakes and losses very hard, just in relation to other NFL players. But I've seen him be kind of pissed off at himself. I've seen him
sort
of be angry, like angry internally. You can see him sitting on the bench kind of stewing some of these mistakes. I haven't seen that kind of outward aggression almost from him.
It was 2019 Brady-esque for me.
Oh, it was.
You know, like same kind of vibe. Like almost like he was just yelling about the entire situation and like and that it shouldn't be as bad as it is.
But in that, all that goes together to make this somewhat of a fascinating situation, just because of the things you talked about there. Is there some sort of disconnect between what Mac Jones and his camp wants to do here and what the Patriots want to do here, how they each want to sort of approach the recovery from this injury, and that's what makes it so interesting. I feel like if there was not that kind of split in opinions, we probably would have had some sort of resolution at this point saying, all right.
We just wouldn't be hearing about it. Like,
there's enough smoke there. People on both sides are definitely kind of getting their messages out in the media through different channels there. And it definitely doesn't seem like they're completely in lockstep here.
And I also think if you're a Patriots fan, you could look at it and say, it took Tom Brady how many years to get to that point with Bill Belichick and the Patriots, that kind of like, you know, pettiness, frustration, you know, putting his message out through the media. And it's taken less than 2 years with Mac Jones. And I'm not saying the situations are perfectly comparable, but, you could draw a line there if you want to.
You could. It's kind of crazy that it's only week four here. It seems like this has been a very long season already for the Patriots. But I think it's interesting to look because since it is only week four, the Patriots have only played three games. It seems like a lot of people are already kind of viewing this as a lost season almost. If Mac Jones misses significant time, you say, well, they're just going to kind of completely fall apart and let's move on to next year and see what the top of the draft looks like. That certainly could happen, but I do think it's early enough that if they can just kind of be stable while Mac Jones is out, if that's for a reasonably short period of time, if he misses, say, three or four games and they get just competent caretaker play from Brian Hoyer, which is just being completely fine, not a playmaker, not a guy that's going to go out and win you a game, but someone who can play without making the kind of mistakes that he made in that Kansas City game last year that really cost them. Because if you remember, looking back at that game, the Patriots, who were, I would say, significantly less talented on that team than they are right now, they should have won that game. They should have at least been right down with the Chiefs at the end of that game. Mm-hmm. Both of those Hoyer mistakes came when the Patriots were trailing 6-3, both of them in the red zone. Field goal in either of those situations ties the game. A touchdown takes the lead. They ended up losing 26-10, but that was only because they had a late pick six that went off Julian Edelman's hands. That kind of distorted the final line a little bit. But I think they're good enough defensively. I think they have enough talent on offense that as long as Brian Hoyer is not a significant negative detriment to them, I think they can make do and come out of this stretch around, I don't know, maybe a little bit under 500, maybe even 500 if you're really optimistic. But on the other side of the coin, Brian Hoyer hasn't really shown that he can do that in a very long time. He's winless in his last 11 starts, which is kind of insane. across stints with four different teams. The last time he won a game as a starter was exactly 6 years ago this Sunday, early in the 2016 season when he was still with Chicago. So they just need – and he's a guy, too, who's played well in the preseason. He's played well when he's come in these garbage time appearances. His stats in both of those are pretty solid.
I think you could argue he was the better – quarterback during training camp too.
Yeah,
he's playing more with second team offense and stuff, but I think you could make that case. Certainly better than Bailey Zappe. But I think, you know, Mac Jones in the first team offense looked terrible for much of the summer. Yeah. And I think when Poirier was out there, it didn't look any worse than that, I think you could argue it looked better.
Yeah, and Bill Belichick has said this morning they're not really going to have to change anything to put Brian Hoyer in there. They're not going to have to run a different offense than they ran with Mac Jones, which I think helps. And he's a guy that should, based on what we've seen, again, in the preseason, in these garbage time appearances, in practice, he's an experienced guy. He should be able to play not mistake-free football, but limit the mistakes enough that the Patriots can win with a run game, win with playing good defense, win with playing, hopefully for them, better special teams than they have so far this season. But, again, it's... I say all that, and then I go back to the fact that just Brian Hoyer hasn't done that in so long, hasn't been that player in so long. So I don't know if he can do that. But I think one thing that's going to be big for the Patriots this weekend against the Packers, if you're talking about kind of keys to the game, how they can win this game, the number one is Brian Hoyer can't do what Brian Hoyer did in Kansas City a couple of years ago. He can't have those mental errors. Even if he goes out and throws an interception or two, he needs to he has to have his head on straight in those critical moments, those red zone moments, those third down moments, and allow the Patriots to win this game with their run game. Because I know Green Bay has a solid defense, a good defense, but if you look at some of the advanced stats, that ground game matchup should favor the Patriots. Because if you look at DVOA, Patriots offense first in rush offense DVOA this year, Packers defense 32nd in rush defense DVOA. So this is a control the game, don't fall behind by 17 points right at the start of the game, which was kind of the same formula that the Patriots are trying to use for Mac Jones, because the other one hasn't proven particularly successful. I can talk myself into the Patriots winning this game.
Me too.
With
Absolutely.
Brian Hoyer if he plays to a competent level. That's all I need. They just need competence from Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, I think the issue with Brian Hoyer and the reason he's a backup, and you know, every quarterback that's a backup is that way for a reason. And I think part of it with him is, you know, his wires cross sometimes. He had how many interceptions was it in that Texans playoff game?
Five.
The mistakes you're talking about against the Chiefs. You know, I think that's the thing, is he just kind of melts down sometimes, and That's why he's basically a career backup. But he's also he's exactly what you want from a backup, in that he knows the playbook in and out.
Yeah.
You know, the worst thing is when you have to put in a backup quarterback, especially a young one, and what you would worry about with Bailey Zappe, where, you know, they know the playbook to a point, but they're not confident enough in it, especially not enough to maybe make checks at the line or just sort of adjust to the game as it's going and things just speed up on them and they start making mistakes. Like, that shouldn't happen to Brian Hoyer from a pure just him knowing the playbook and knowing what to do standpoint. It might happen just because, like I said, sometimes he snaps the ball and the wires cross and some crazy, you know, mistake happens. But like you said, if you can avoid that, you know, I don't know how many throws, and I don't even mean this to be a slight against Mac Jones, I don't know how many throws Mac Jones can make that Brian Hoyer can't.
Hoyer throws a pretty good deep ball.
Yeah,
honestly.
He does. I mean, and again, it's not like Mac Jones, the velocity isn't obviously what we talk about with Mac Jones. Again, it's going to sound like a knock on Mac Jones, but I don't think there shouldn't be that much of a drop-off, especially if you factor in the mistakes that Mac Jones has made this year with the turnovers. So I think you could get, you know, a relatively similar performance out of Brian Hoyer. And like you said, if you avoid turnovers, if the Patriots run the ball, you know, that matchup played out last week against the Ravens, where we went into it saying, you know, the Ravens have perhaps the worst pass defense in the league. The Patriots should be able to throw the ball. And they did, even though they lost. You know, Mac Jones had a career high in passing yards. And going into this game, the Packers have a bad run defense. Patriots, you know, if they've been really good at one thing on offense this season, it's been running the ball. Ramondre Stevenson was really good against the Ravens. And yeah, if they can, again, and we talk about it every week, and so it's, I sound like a broken record, but if they can get ahead, play with the lead, kind of play the game on their terms. I don't know how, if you ever really can play a game on your terms when you're facing Aaron Rodgers, but if they can kind of get into that situation, keep it low scoring, yeah, I think it's definitely winnable.
Yeah, sure. And this Packers team, they do have Aaron Rodgers. They have some talent on offense, especially at the running back position. Bill Belichick today said that Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon are one of the best running back duos they'll face this season.
I'll take the Patriots over that.
Yeah,
over
them, but this isn't a Packers team that's going out and putting up 35 points per game so far. They've been reasonably low scoring in most of their games so far this season through the first 3 weeks. They've got Aaron Rodgers, but Devontae Adams isn't there anymore. Most of the recognizable receivers that you've seen come through Green Bay aren't there anymore. It's Alan Lazard. It's Romeo Doubs. It's a couple young guys that are kind of still working to get on the same page as Aaron Rodgers. And I know that's been a struggle for them and for him so far this year. So I'm not expecting this to be obviously it's a tough challenge anytime you face Aaron Rodgers, but this isn't facing peak Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs or anything like that. I don't think this is a...
This is the worst passing game the Patriots have faced, probably, not counting the quarterback, but yeah. just pure talent at receiver. I would say it's probably the worst because the Ravens with Mark Andrews, I think, is more dangerous than anything the Packers have. So, yeah, the quarterback is who he is, but in terms of just the talent in the receiving game, I think, yeah, that, you know, this is certainly a more easily... Yeah. defended that for the Patriots than the other games.
Yeah, again, I think there's a lot of ways that you can talk yourself into the Patriots being competitive or even potentially winning this game, even though they most likely will not have Mac Jones. I think where it gets interesting is if Brian Hoyer comes out and starts and is the same player that we saw in that Chiefs game a couple years ago, where the Patriots just need him to be not a kind of mental disaster in those key moments, and he can't do that. Because that performance in that game, like I said earlier, got him benched and then got him demoted to third string. He didn't even dress for another game that entire season. Patriots wound up moving Jarrett Stidham above him on the depth chart. If that happens again this week and potentially the week after that, when is kind of the ripcord on that? When do you say, all right, we can't do this anymore? We've got to.
I don't think you do.
Do you ride it out? Do you say, all right, we're going to give Zappi a shot? Or say, all right, we're going to go bring in Sean Mannion or like some random ass quarterback from somewhere else? Like, I don't know. I don't know how long. Part of that's going to depend too on how long Mac Jones is out.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
If it's a situation you were to say, all right, well, Mac's going to be back in 3 weeks anyway. We'll ride it out with Hoyer. Zappi isn't ready. We'll just kind of take our lumps and then get Mac Jones back. But if it's a 7-8 week absence, I don't think you can survive for that long with someone who's playing at that level. Which again, there's no guarantee that Brian Hoyer will be that level again. Right. But
if you can't beat the Bears at home with Brian Hoyer at quarterback and all the other pieces on the team, then I think the Patriots have far bigger problems than finding a replacement at quarterback and figuring out when Mac Jones is coming back. I mean, they should win that game regardless.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and that's kind of a debate for a different week, I guess.
One other quick note to make that I do think it could come up huge in this game is I think stopping the run is going to be huge for the Patriots, as you mentioned, with Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. Because if they can stop the run and force the Packers to be more one-dimensional, again, you're forcing one of the best quarterbacks ever to throw the ball more, so that is what it is. But if they don't stop the run, then it becomes much more difficult. So I think the injury to Lawrence Guy could be sneaky big. I don't think he's been as good as he has been in years past. He used to just be sort of set it and forget it, super reliable on the defensive line. But he's still, and that not so much the case this year and towards the end of last year, but still really solid. But with him being hurt, he wasn't at practice today. You know, is it more Carl Davis, Daniel Okwale, Christian Barmore, plays on more downs. We'll see how that goes. He's been getting double teamed a lot and hasn't really made a huge impact yet. But again, if they just get thin on that defensive line, you know, that just makes it harder for them to stop the run, which is something that I think they need to do in this game to have a chance at winning.
And Guy's a guy they haven't really had to replace at all since he got here back in 2017. I looked it up today and was a little bit surprised by these stats. He's played in 82 of a possible 84 regular season games for the Patriots since he got here.
And he started a ton of snaps.
And started 80 of them and plays a ton of snaps. So he's a guy who has been a set-it-and-forget-it type player for a very long time now for the Patriots. So even, as you mentioned, that he maybe his level of play has dipped a little bit in the last year or two, but still a guy the Patriots have always been able to rely on to at least be in there and be in that spot. So
yeah, I think it puts more pressure on Christian Barmore to play, you know, a three down role.
Absolutely.
And now we sort of find out, is he ready for that? Because the season so far, he really hasn't had to do that yet.
Yeah, I don't think we've really seen much kind of in the way of sort of flash or anything. Christian Barmore hasn't been a very noticeable player, I would say, through 3 weeks. Not that he's been bad or been kind of a negative player, but I feel like some of us were maybe expecting a little bit more of a visible impact from him so far. So it would not be at all surprising if he takes on a larger role if Guy isn't able to play in this game. A couple other key injuries that we'll be monitoring this week. Jacoby Myers, Kyle Duggar, both of them did not play against the Ravens. I think both of them were missed, especially Kyle Duggar on defense, trying to defend Lamar Jackson, which the Patriots did not do especially well. Both of them were at practice today, but we also saw them at every practice last week, and they weren't able to play. So we will see what the kind of the prognosis looks like for both of those guys. Also, Raekwon McMillan didn't play in the game last week. He was also back out at practice. So a couple injury situations that we're going to be monitoring here as this game approaches. I think that just about wraps it up for the week. Dakota, any final thoughts, anything we didn't hit over this last half hour or so that you want to get out there?
Maybe a couple notes. For the Patriots defense, you know, we talked about it during the pregame chat before the game down on the field that, you know, this was kind of going to be a litmus test for, is this Patriots defense faster? We talked about it all offseason. Matt Groh talked about it just in general. That was one of the things. They need to get faster on defense, especially at linebacker. And is this the kind of game against this fast Raven offense where we're going to see, did they indeed get more speed on defense? And I don't think you didn't really get the results you were looking for. It looked like a pretty tough game for Mack Wilson. I mean, he's certainly a good athlete, but it looked like he struggled in pass coverage.
Yeah, I definitely think you saw a bit of a lack of discipline from Mack Wilson in this game. There was definitely situations where you saw a Ravens play fake in the backfield. He's running with the running back one way, and Lamar Jackson's taking off down the opposite sideline with the ball. So definitely something the Patriots are going to have to clean up this week. It was interesting that after the game, Devin McCourty basically compared playing against the Ravens to playing against a triple option team in college. It's just sort of an offense that you don't see every week that kind of brings wrinkles that you're not used to practicing against. I think most of the teams that the Patriots will see the rest of the season will run some more traditional looks that don't have all the Lamar Jackson three tight end crazy backfield fake type things. So from a Patriots perspective, they've got to hope that they'll be able to right the ship a little bit against a team that doesn't use quite so much misdirection and confusion in the backfield.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, I mean, again, for Mack Wilson, it's kind of more feast or famine for him. Still an interesting player, but it's, you know, he had that really good play against the Steelers and then a bit of a struggle in this one. I thought Devin McCourty's age showed a bit in this game. I don't think he was bad or anything, but I think the fact that he's lost a step showed up. I think Juwan Bentley, similarly, he just kind of looked like, you know, it seems like every year going into the season, we talk about the improvements Juwan Bentley has made, or he's kind of coming into his own or emerging as you know, a real leader on the defense. And I think that stuff is true. But at the end of the day, he kind of just sort of more often than not looks just like Juwan Bentley, which is a good, solid linebacker, but not especially fast. I think not having Kyle Duggar out there really hurt them. His speed and athleticism could have made a huge difference against Lamar Jackson. So I just think the speed that you were hoping to see from the defense didn't show up. But I think to your point of what McCourty said, tough matchup regardless. I think a really good game for Jonathan Jones. I think he's looked like a top corner for much of the season, which has been a huge development for them. Like, if that wasn't happening, I think they'd be in a really tough spot. He's been excellent. But again, just, you know, didn't show in this game what I think a lot of people were hoping to see on defense.
Yeah, I think the off the ball linebacker play overall was definitely a low point for the Patriots in this game, a negative for them. There was one play from Juwan Bentley that I watched six or seven times trying to figure out exactly what happened. It was one of those long Justice Hill runs where it looks like he just kind of steps into the wrong gap, then kind of falls down. I don't know if he thought Patrick Ricard, who was the lead blocker on the play, had the ball or what exactly was going on there, but that kind of opened up a big hole, and then it's 35 yards down the field. So, again, the Patriots have to hope that against a more conventional rushing attack, you're not going to see some of the breakdowns that they had in this past game. And yeah. You mentioned cornerback. One last point that Jalen Mills had a limited workload in this last game. I believe he ended up leaving the game with a hamstring injury that he was dealing with going into the game. A lot of people thought that he would be that clear number one going into the season. That has not been the case so far. He's, I think, kind of struggled in all three of the games this season. And now with that injury, that's going to be another one to watch. Add that to the injury list here for the Patriots this week. But yeah, it definitely hasn't been the season that I think a lot of us were expecting after watching what he was able to do in training camp in the preseason.
Yeah, and I think it's also one of those things where it feels like the Josh Uche thing just isn't going to happen. Like, it's just, we
five snaps in this game?
Yeah, and how much we talked about, you know, the Patriots going into training camp where, yeah, they let some of their more experienced and older linebackers go, Hightower, Collins, and Van Noy, but they have young youth and speed and athleticism coming up. Josh Uche, a big part of that. I think Steve Belichick said he was going to be part of the blueprint of the defense. And like last year, it's just not happening. And you kind of have to wonder at this point, is it just never going to happen? And, you know, obviously Cam McGrone got released before the end of training camp or before the roster cutdowns. And so, you know, The linebacker thing, I think, has turned out to be, maybe not the disaster that people feared it would be going into the offseason when everyone was screaming about them not drafting a linebacker, but it hasn't been great. And I do think it's worth noting that for whatever you think of PFF grades, Devin Lloyd, the rookie linebacker for the Jaguars, who a lot of people thought the Patriots should have taken when they had the chance in the draft, is the eighth-ranked linebacker by PFF. Again, small sample size, take that for what it's worth, but higher than any linebacker the Patriots have, that's for sure.
Yeah, going to be interesting to see what the workload kind of distribution looks like between Mack Wilson and Raekwon McMillan, if McMillan can get back and play in this game, because he had the bigger role in week one, then Wilson had the bigger role in week two, then in week three, McMillan didn't play, Wilson was out there a lot, and I thought really struggled in that game. So going to be interesting to see whether that maybe tilts back toward McMillan or whether the Patriots want to roll with Wilson, who I think is the more athletic option, but definitely had a bit of a rough go out there against Baltimore. But that will do it for this week's Nesson Patriots podcast. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Zach Cox Nesson. You can follow Dakota at Dak Randall Nesson. You can follow along with all of our Patriots coverage on Nesson.com, and we will both be there this weekend at Lambeau Field. Very excited about that to bring you all of your coverage from Patriots versus Packers. Kickoff for that game is at 4:25 Eastern on Sunday.